This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on ministering to the deaf in your community with Dr. Rick Allen. Dr. Allen has been at Lancaster Baptist Church since 1999. He served in the U.S. Air Force for 12 years as a family physician before teaching science, first aid, and American Sign Language at West Coast Baptist College.
This session is called Ministering to the Deaf in Your Community. This is where everybody was planning to be. Okay, this is on an assistant pastor's track, but I know that these sessions are open to anybody, to everybody who's interested. So first, let me just kind of see who we've got here. How many of y'all are not preachers? How many of y'all are not preachers? Okay. And again, we have the privilege of having some deaf with us today. I appreciate Brother McCullough interpreting for me today. All right, so we have some folks who are not preachers. Now, how many of y'all are preachers? Okay. Preachers, assistant pastors, evangelists, you preach God's word. Okay. All right. You know, and that's an interesting thing. We do try to make a clear distinction when we interpret and what people mean by things. And so I know around here we try to make a clear distinction because our pastor has made a clear distinction between preaching and between pastoring. And there is a huge difference. And pastor tries to make sure he's doing the best he can to pastor us, his flock, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let me read a verse that will help introduce this topic, hopefully introduce the situation. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. And this is a segment from the time that they finished building and they were celebrating. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So you have some folks that are reading God's law distinctly. And you have some folks that are giving the sense, that are explaining, that are helping the congregation to understand. Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. And Philip ran thither to him. This would be the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, this would be the Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Both of these passages, and there are others, that have the situation of God's word being read, whether it's read to somebody or you have someone who's reading God's word and they are going to get assistance in understanding what that passage says. Most people that I know of, they got saved, myself included, because somebody helped them. A person, real life, flesh and blood, they had a pulse, they came up to me and they helped me understand these verses from the Bible. Even more so is that situation with the deaf. So in your introduction here, I've included some information that will help solidify, help you understand the huge difference in these situations. Deaf ministry involves bringing two worlds and two languages together. The deaf have their language. Here it's called American Sign Language, and they have their own culture. The hearing have their language. Here in this country, it's English, and we have our own culture. Our King James Bible is in English. English is a foreign language for most deaf. It's a very distant foreign language. The deaf need help understanding the Bible more than most of us do. Maybe you've heard the statement, some folks are frustrated when they read certain passages in the Bible, and I'll say specifically the King James Bible. They might be frustrated, and they express that frustration. They say that the language is too difficult. They say it's too difficult to understand. If we read some passages in Scripture, we'll see that that's not a fault of the King James Bible. It's not a fault of God in the way that He chose to say what He wanted to say. There are clear explanations given in Scripture, clear references in Scripture where God says that these things, they're hard to understand. Some things will be hard to understand. And the danger at times is that we may rest them to our own destruction. There are some passages that are hard to understand. It's not the fault of the King James Bible. It's not the fault of God. He makes no mistakes. So the deaf need help understanding the Bible more than most of us do, because most of us read the English language quite easily. We may just have some frustrations at times when we read certain passages in our Bible. But English is very foreign to most deaf. Where you and I read fairly easily, they don't read very easily. Okay? It's a distant foreign language to them. An example I give is oftentimes when trying to explain the situation. Imagine if the only church in your city was a Chinese church. Imagine that the only Bible you had in that city was a Chinese Bible. And you're going to church, and you're hearing Chinese preaching, and you're reading a Chinese Bible, but guess what? You don't know Chinese. Chinese has a different alphabet, certainly has a different sound. It's a very distant foreign language for you. How many hearing people would actually learn Chinese in order to stay in that church, understand that Bible? Not many. Hopefully that helps you understand the situation, the predicament that many of our deaf are in. Does God love the deaf? Yes, God loves the deaf. Who will go for God and tell them? If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? Sad to say, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are reaching the deaf. I see a greater influence of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons in the deaf world than I do the hearing world. Will you be willing to go reach the deaf? This session is on ministering to the deaf in your community. In previous years, we've talked about establishing deaf ministry. This is more about the day-to-day, the repetitive routines that are going to be important in being able to reach the deaf. You have a deaf ministry, and you are wanting to reach the deaf. Our church has a couple of different aspects of a vision statement, and I've used this vision statement to help be complete in how we approach this goal of reaching the deaf. First, the vision of loving God. And how many of y'all have notes that you can fill in? Okay, good. First is loving God. Loving God is the first purpose that we have in our mission statement, our vision statement here at this church. Loving God. And one of the most important parts that we as a church body have in this loving God aspect are the worship services. I feel like our worship services do a great job in motivating my heart to love God more. And your goal as a deaf ministry will be then to help the deaf have that same experience. Is your heart touched during your worship services? Well, make it your goal that the deaf's hearts will be touched. Okay? So the worship services play a great role in inspiring a greater love for God. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that's the way we want it for ourselves. That's the way we want it for our families, our children. That's the way we would want it for the deaf. We would want them to look forward to coming to the house of God. Yeah, I can't wait to go to church. Because when I go to church, I find out how great God is. I remember how much God loves me. And I remember the things that he's done for me. And that makes me love him more. Okay? Now, in order for a worship service that's interpreted, and these initial aspects are going to focus a lot on an interpreting phase, if you will, of a deaf ministry, which is still the phase that we are in. There are some things that you are going to need to do and prepare for in order for this worship service to inspire a greater love for God, in order for you to be successful in reaching that goal. You'll need to interpret clearly. The way that you sign needs to be clear. Interpreting clearly. You also need to interpret faithfully. Faithful to the meaning, the content, and the spirit of the speaker. Faithful to the meaning, the content, and the spirit of the speaker. That is so critical. As an interpreter, you are just a vessel. You become that speaker. That's who you are. You have no identity of your own. You have no name. You are that person up there. That's who you become. And in your mind's eye, if you can't see them, if you're seeing them with your mind's eye, you are trying to be exactly what that person is up there. The way they are saying things, not just what they are saying, but the way they are saying it. And you don't always get to see that person. But guess what? There are a lot of things that we have to do by faith, isn't there? Okay? So, the better you know your pastor, the better you know your visiting preachers, the better you'll be able to do that, okay? Because you want to do that faithfully, content, meaning, and spirit of the speaker. You're also going to need a deaf ministry leader. Wiser folks than I have said everything rises and falls on leadership. Certainly, that's not the whole of the equation. But leadership is so critical. So your deaf ministry will need a deaf ministry leader. It's critical that you have a deaf ministry leader. And again, this was geared primarily for assistant pastors. But I would encourage those of you who have deaf ministries, those of you who have pastors with a heart for the deaf ministry, encourage them to pray for and mentor that deaf ministry leader. They need that. Your pastor is your man for your area, God's man for that area. And God is going to enable that pastor to mentor that deaf ministry leader better than anybody else. Okay? So pray for and mentor that deaf ministry leader. Point that deaf ministry leader to the pastor. We're going to have to prepare for worship service just like actually most churches do. But there's going to be some extra preparation that you'll need to interpret those worship services faithfully. What do we mean? For example, you'll need to have some idea what's going to go on with the service segments. Service segments. How is your service going to be structured? There might be a lot of repetitiveness from Sunday night to Sunday night, or from Sunday morning, or from Wednesday night to Wednesday night. But you can't take that for granted. You need to be ready. So it helps to have a cue card so that you can make a good interpreter schedule. You can have appropriate people in appropriate slots. You need to be ready for prayer. You're not going to be able to ask, and we wouldn't want to ask the person who's going to pray, as if, and most time you won't know who's going to pray during a certain segment. So how can you prepare? You need to schedule someone who can interpret things that are being said spontaneously. If there's a part of the service that includes a prayer, you need to have someone in that slot who can interpret spontaneously. There are certain segments of the service that can be well prepared for. The song service, for instance. The person who's singing, they've practiced. The person who's playing the instrument, they've practiced. The person who's leading the choir, they've practiced. Okay? They're not going to add new words to the song when they get up there. So you have someone who can prepare for that song because they're going to sing it right off the paper, if you will. Okay, so that's an example of a slot that you can put someone in who needs a lot of time to prepare for something. okay? But a prayer slot, they're not going to have a chance to prepare for that. So you can't have a beginning interpreter in a prayer slot. Songs, they can be prepared ahead of time, but please do not underestimate the complexity of songs. Songs are extremely complicated. The only reason why you might have a more beginning, a less seasoned interpreter doing the songs is because they can prepare for that, and they need preparation, and you want them to interpret. Okay, but songs are very complicated because most songs are very pretty and poetic. And so as we interpret and we get things conceptually correct, that's your first goal. You want to be conceptually correct, true to the meaning, the content of the message. But with a song, you're not done there. If all you've done is interpreted clearly and you've been faithful to the content of the song, it's still not pretty. It's not a song. It's just a speech. And some speeches might be very moving, but most of our songs are not speeches. And they're very moving because they're not speeches. Okay? So do not underestimate the complexity of interpreting songs. They are far more difficult than things that are spoken because of that extra poetic beauty to them. Okay? So do not underestimate their complexity. Be ready to help that beginning interpreter practice so that they can do that well. Sermon segments. You need a skilled interpreter to do that. You need a skilled interpreter to do that because most of that is going to be very spontaneous. It would help if you get the notes and the outlines as early as possible to prepare. That will really help. The invitation segment of the service, I would encourage you to have at least two interpreters. Interpreters are used to being more than one person. Yes, this is true. But it does make it more clear if you will have more than one interpreter doing the invitation. I haven't traveled to too many churches, but lots of times during the invitation, you have the person leading the invitation, and then you have the person leading the singing, and they're not the same person. So you're going to have an interpreter who's interpreting the song, but every once in a while, the person leading the invitation, they're going to interject something. They're trying to persuade. They're trying to woo people to make a decision. And it can be very difficult. It can be very confusing to keep those separate if you don't have two interpreters. Counseling. So you have an invitation and people come forward. You need to be ready for that. Expect that people are going to come forward. What's your plan? You still have an invitation to conduct, unless that's the only death that you had. Okay? So you still need an interpreter there for that invitation. And so what are some plausible choices? What are some good choices for handling counseling? They're going to come forward for some type of a decision. Maybe it's a salvation decision. Maybe it's a baptism decision, a decision to join the church, or some other prayer need. Okay? Ideally, you have an interpreter who is a good counselor. That's ideal, because then they get to work with the deaf person one-on-one. It's all in the same language, no interpreter needed. That's ideal. If you don't have that, then you need a counselor and an interpreter. Then you need a counselor and an interpreter. So either a gifted signer who can counsel, or you need a counselor and an interpreter. And I would just encourage you as the interpreter to encourage the counselor to go very slowly, okay? To be patient. Now, this position called the scribe is really critical for interpreted services because ASL is a visual language. And if you want the deaf taking their own notes, they're going to have to miss some of the message, because they're going to have to look down and write something. And when they look down, they cannot listen to you interpret. So it's really important that you have scribes and that you try to explain some things to the scribe. What is their goal? Yeah, you do want them to get the message down, but but encourage them to put synonyms down, explanations down, okay? If they know signs, they can watch the interpreter, and when the interpreter has chosen a specific sign for this term, then they can put that on those notes, okay? So propitiation, the interpreter signed this. Maybe the word was justification, and maybe the interpreter signed this. Or maybe the word was redemption, and the interpreter signed this. Okay, so when they go back to those notes, they have a chance of remembering, how did the interpreter say that? Okay, I get it now. That helps me understand what this point is about. So scribes are really critical. And I would encourage you to have the scribe not only scribe for the deaf, but scribe for the interpreter. The interpreter would probably like to take notes, but their hands are a little tied at the time. So have them do a set of notes for the interpreter as well. And then workshops to improve the interpreting. It's really important to try to have times where you practice interpreting. And there's some teaching kind of segments that you can have in these workshops where you talk about principles, interpreting principles. But really, you want to spend some time with headphones on so that the audience that this person is interpreting to, the audience can't hear what the message is. So that the interpreter in that chair during that workshop will have a more honest assessment of their abilities to interpret. You know, whenever we're sitting in a service and we hear the message and we see the interpreter, and it's far too easy to be able to track with the interpreter because we can hear what's being said and we can fill in what maybe may not be so clear. But when you have an interpreter in a workshop setting who's got some headphones on and he or she is the only person that can hear the message, and now you must be deaf. For the first time in your life, you are now deaf. And you must rely on what that person is signing to know what the message is. You can then give better feedback to that interpreter. How clear is it? You know? And maybe for the first time you realize, wow, you know, I thought my receptive skills were better. Boy, it's either me or it's the interpreter or maybe a little bit of both, but boy, that wasn't clear at all. I had no idea what he was interpreting, okay? So having a set of headphones on that interpreter will really help that workshop go better. Another piece of information to realize, expect to have a miniature bus ministry. Transportation is often required for the deaf. Transportation is often required. So don't be real surprised. Plan on that. And you don't have to have people that know how to sign to pick up the deaf. It's nice. The deaf are great communicators. You know? They show up, right place, right time, get in the car, you go. All right? That driver does not have to know signs. It's nice if they do, but don't let that be a limitation to you bringing deaf who want to come. You just need somebody to be able to go out there and get them. Okay? So with some of those needs, what I've tried here in this next section is just kind of make like a shopping list, a to-do list for the church and the pastoral staff. Therefore, for worship services, we need help. The deaf ministry needs help. What? We need cue cards as early as possible to prepare, number one. Number two, we need sermon notes as early as possible to prepare. Number three, we need drivers. We need drivers that are willing to bring the deaf. Number four, we need to train other interpreters so that they can help with the interpreting. Number five, we need a good deaf section. We need good line of sight to the preacher. Our preference is that the deaf, when they're looking at the interpreter, they can still see the preacher. They can still see the singer. We want them to be able to see that in their same field of vision. So like if I'm looking at Mrs. Reese here, I can still see, Brother Jones right behind her. Okay? I can see what he's doing. I can see how excited he is. I can see how serious he is. I can see his facial expression. I can see the sadness in his face. I can see the tear in his eye. We want them to be able to see the preacher, the singer. So you want good line of sight. Along with that, we want good ushers to reduce the traffic through the deaf section. We want them to reduce the traffic through the deaf section. How many of y'all have ever heard preachers, pastors, before big events, you've heard them pray for things like the sound system? Pray that the sound system will be working, that it will perform. Could you imagine how frustrating it would be if during a huge meeting, thousands of people in the auditorium, if the sound just went out? Maybe the sound went out every 5 minutes or so. The sound would just go out. Nobody in that auditorium would hear anything. Every 5 to 10 minutes or so, there'd be a couple of seconds of dead silence. The preacher's mouth is moving. The singer's mouth is moving, but there's no sound. If that happened regularly, would that be frustrating to the congregation? That would be very frustrating for the preacher and the singer as well. Okay? That's what happens every time somebody walks through the deaf section. The sound goes out. However momentary that is, it's out. It's gone. So it's really critical to try to protect that deaf section so the sound does not go out. Okay, if you obstruct their vision, the sound just went out. They could not hear anything that was said. Okay, so you want to try to find a good area that's easy to protect, that has good line of sight to what's going on up front at the pulpit. Number seven, friendly faces that greet deaf. It's nice if they know signs. That's even better. You know, imagine if you entered a congregation of 100, of 50, of 1,000, and you did not speak their language. Everybody was a foreigner to you. You could not communicate with them. How nice would it be to at least see a friendly face? And how much would it mean if someone came to you in broken English and said, "How are you? How you?" in English, and you're halfway across the world, and that's the first bit of your language that you've heard is "how you." You would be ecstatic. You would be ecstatic. Okay? So, friendly face goes a long way. Whatever signs you know, do not underestimate that. Okay? We need counselors that go slowly. And really, a good soul winner. And this, you know, as you learn another language, as you learn another culture, it should help you be a better soul winner. It really should. And a good counselor, someone who's used to leading people to Christ, they're used to going slow. The point isn't how fast can the counselor get through the message. The point is how well will the hearer understand the message. You know, your goal is understanding. Your goal is understanding enough to make a decision. And so remember that and encourage your counselors. And just know that it's going to take longer. It's going to take longer. You've got two cultures and languages to bridge. 9, we need scribes to help take notes for the deaf. Most of these items on this need list, most of them all involve people. People. It's a huge a change in perspective, a huge paradigm shift, if you will. So lots of different people are going to need to be involved. This is a ministry that requires a lot of people. It does. And that might be one of the reasons why small churches don't often have a deaf ministry. That might be a reason why there are not too many deaf ministries. There aren't too many churches that have bus ministries. It requires a lot of people, a lot of work, a lot of love. Okay? But people are worth being saved. Vision, growing together. In addition to interpreted worship services, a Sunday school class in ASL is critical. A Sunday school class. this is really the most important piece of the deaf understanding the Bible is a Sunday school class. So for your deaf ministry to grow, Sunday school class is going to be critical. For individual deaf to grow, Sunday school class is going to be critical. So if you can take this message back, please emphasize the Sunday school class, a Bible class that's taught in their native language, their native tongue, if you will. Something else that will help you and the deaf grow together, simple daily devotions. Simple daily devotions. Most of us don't have access to video devotions, and so they need to be written. The deaf's language is not written. It will be a foreign language. Keep it very simple. Some examples, terms that you use. If you're going to use a biblical term, great, have a synonym. Put it in parentheses or something so they can connect those two. Okay? But also the structure of your thoughts, your sentences, make it very direct, not very convoluted, if you will. Okay? So, for example, we could say something like, I was saved by grace. And that is true. That is true. But I could also try to make it a little bit more direct. Because of God's grace, I'm saved. God saved me. Who saved me? God did. Who got saved? I did. Who gave? God. Who received? Me. Make it very direct. Make it very blunt. Very straight. All the action going in one direction, not going in several different directions. So just try to keep your statements very short, simple, straight, to the point. Vocabulary. You know, God's word is God's word because it's full of words. And words are the ways that he conveys these messages. But make sure you try to explain these words to them. Explain the words so that they can be blessed. You know, I remember, for instance, explaining when we were going through the book of Colossians, explaining the doctrine of redemption. This is Roman numeral 2. Letter C, vocabulary. Redemption. You know, the idea that I was a slave to sin. And that I had a cruel master. Satan was my master. I served sin. A servant of sin. And I'm on the auction block. Who wants to buy me? I'm not worth anything. Jesus steps up. I'll take him. I'll give my life, my blood. He's mine now. I have a new master. Jesus is my master. I don't have to serve sin anymore. I've been redeemed. I've been bought back. Things are back the way they're supposed to be. I don't have to serve sin. I don't have to serve Satan anymore. Redemption. I've been redeemed. That word has so much meaning to it. But they're not going to know unless you explain it. So many big doctrinal words in the Bible. Justification. It's a blessing to study the word and understand what it means. But you are going to have to take the time to explain it. And then every time they see that word, and there's not a good sign for it, every time they see the word, their heart's going to be blessed. Oh, yeah, I get it. My sin subtracted, God's righteousness added. A two-process transaction. My sin is gone, and his righteousness is now mine. That's justification, okay? They can be blessed if you'll explain what these words mean. Discipleship, letter D. It's critical for growth. We want them to be saved, yes. We want them to be baptized, yes. And we want them to learn, yes, so they can grow and be stronger. And then they can do likewise. Discipleship is critical. E, soul winning. The deaf can go soul winning. They should. but you need to help them. Give them tracts for the class, for the ministry, and show them how to do it. Take them with you. Okay? F, escort them and interpret for them to better assimilate them. This is one of the reasons why you need a lot of interpreters. You have this deaf man who wants to meet pastor after the service. And you have this deaf lady who wants to talk with the deacons about a financial need. And then you have this deaf boy who wants to talk to the youth pastor about something he heard in class. If all you have is one interpreter, there's a line. Nothing wrong with lines. But if you have more interpreters, you can serve more needs. Okay? So the more interpreters you have, the more needs you can fill and help with. Okay? So this person can go to pastor with their interpreter. This person can go to that deacon for their financial need. And this person can go to the youth pastor for their question from this morning. Okay? So you can serve more. You can meet those needs. G, develop deaf leaders. Develop deaf leaders. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And 2 Timothy 2:2 is still in the Bible. And we do want people to learn the Bible, teach others, and that process needs to keep going. You need to develop deaf leaders. They need to grow as well. They need to be able to reach their own. Develop them. H, a contact list. Not just for praying, but also for visiting, for writing, texting, calling, emailing. Okay? Pastor mentioned a list this morning. You know, your deaf ministry needs a list. You need, every person's name, that's a person that you're going to try to reach. Okay, don't lose that list. Don't lose that list. Try to keep that up to date. People move. Yes, that's going to happen. And you may not ever have a chance to contact that person again. But as long as that information is good, that list is precious because it's people. I, activities for the deaf are key to reach more deaf. They are key. The deaf, I find, are far more social than our hearing groups. They like to get together more than hearing groups just like to get together. Okay? So plan to have activities on a regular basis. That will help you reach more deaf. J, sign language classes. Sign language classes for church and deaf family members. Sign language classes for church to make your church more deaf-friendly. Sign language classes for perhaps deaf family members. How come? Most of the deaf children have parents who do not know signs. So it would be nice if you could find those parents of deaf children and encourage them to learn signs so that the deaf boy or the deaf girl gets to hear, maybe for the first time, from mom or dad in their own language, "I love you." K, English reading help. And we're still talking about things related to your deaf class, ways that your deaf class can help reach the deaf. Slow down and explain the verses in class. Remember, it's a foreign language. And these words are important. It is God's word. It's not going to change. But it's not in their language. So explain it to them so they get to understand God's word. Explain those verses in class. Take your time. Roman number 3, vision, serving others. So the worship services to inspire heart for God, the classes to help them grow and understand God's word better. And, you know, that's going to cut down your attrition. Newly saved deaf are easy prey for Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses because they're not grounded and they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Roman number 3, vision, serving others, soul winning. I told you, deaf, they should go soul winning. Teach them to go soul winning. Take them soul winning with you. Teach them it's really simple to hand out a tract. Many hearing people, they get that tract, they can read that, they can understand it. And they have just fulfilled part of the Great Commission in getting the message out. T, Just like we can't force someone to make a decision, they don't need to force someone to make a decision either. They just need to give the person the opportunity. Here, they just need to hold it out. Let the person take it. Okay? But you should teach your deaf how to memorize verses and know these scriptural principles that are involved with leading someone to Christ so that they can lead someone to Christ. They have a language. It's just not English. So they meet someone who has their own language. They're perfect to lead that person to Christ. But you need to give them the biblical background, the biblical verses and principles to help them do that. B, discipleship. We mentioned this in the class setting. But also, this is one of the ways the deaf can reach others. You disciple a deaf, and now that deaf person can disciple somebody else. 2 Timothy 2:2 in action. Letter C, family and friends. Encourage them to reach and invite these. They know more deaf, and they probably know more lost than you do. If you've been saved for any amount of time, your list of lost friends is rapidly dwindling. You know? So there are other people that you don't know, you've never met, but they know, and they can reach them. So encourage them to invite them, to reach them. Other church ministries. The deaf can serve in other church ministries. They don't have to just serve in the deaf ministry. Maybe they want to serve on the bus ministry. How are they going to learn how to do that? Get an interpreter to work with them. They go to those bus meetings, and they learn what the bus workers learn so that they can be part of the bus ministry or the usher ministry or the deacon ministry. Okay? But they are going to need an interpreter to help them learn the same things that the hearing people are learning about how to serve the Lord. They can be a greeter. That was letter D, Roman numeral 3. Ministering to the deaf in your community. We're in an interpreting phase of worship services right now. But if you had to prioritize setting up a deaf ministry and what kind of a department you start first, second, third, whatever, your first goal would be to start a Sunday school in American Sign Language for the deaf. That's your first goal. Sunday school. Second would be a Bible study or discipleship to be in ASL, American Sign Language, not interpreted. And then the third thing would be church services to be in ASL, not interpreted. Okay, so things that you would have as a goal to happen in ASL, they start and end in ASL, and maybe voice interpretation is needed, would be number one, Sunday school, number two, Bible study, / discipleship, and number three, church services. But step number one, as far as how to reach the deaf, which department? Is it bus? Is it choir? No. It's Sunday school. Sunday school is what you need to start with to reach the deaf. Sunday school. Start with Sunday school in ASL. You can have interpreted services until God so leads for you to have other transitions. Okay, I wanted to open up for some comments and questions. I wanted to give our deaf a chance to maybe ask some questions or make some comments to us since they've heard this presentation. I did not know they were going to be here when I made this presentation several months or years ago. The one on the left here is Gerald Black. The one on the right is Alberto Arreguin. Okay. Any comments? Any questions? Anything you wanted to say to the group? Okay, well, so let me ask. Do you have a deaf ministry in your church? Yes, they have a deaf ministry, okay? Do you have a deaf ministry in your church? Okay. Do you have a deaf ministry in your church? Yes. And you're here? Okay, so, all right, so does that help you? Do you want to ask? Do you want to say something? They have one. They don't. They have one. And she has one. Okay, does that help? You want to ask them something? You want to say something? Okay. How many deaf people in your church? Three? None. Okay. Any other things? Yeah, how many deaf in our church? It varies a lot. It's up and down. 8, 12, 4, 3. Yeah. Alberto's been going since 2005. Gerald's been coming for the past 2 years. Yes.
One question. One smart, one average, one slow thinking. How do I teach all three? And the smart man stay happy.
I'll say something that I learned from John Barr a long time ago, and then I'll let him make a comment. John Barr encouraged to aim for the middle. You know, you're still encouraging the new one, whatever, to stretch and grow and learn more. And it's not totally boring for the high one, okay? And more people will understand. So, I mean, that's hard to do, but that was the principle I learned, you know, 15 years ago. Yeah. And I would say, in general, you don't want to depend on words. I mean, you're explaining words, but you can't rely on words to help them understand. Your signing has to help them understand, and then they make the connection with the word. Does that make sense? You always want to start with what they know. It's a basic principle of teaching. You start with what they know first, and then you stretch them. Okay? So, you know what this is? Okay, well, this is like this. You don't know what this is? Don't waste any time talking about this. They don't know it. Okay? You know what this is? Oh, okay. Okay, this is like that. It's the same. You know? Yeah. So you find out where they're at. See what they understand. And, so their language first, and then that's what this means, the word. Start with their language and then show them what the word means. Did you catch what he said? Yeah. So, you know, what reality is, you show them, you have the Bible answer to a question. You show them the verse. You let them read it. Are they going to understand it? No. They're not going to understand it. So he says, use ASL, explain the answer, and then help them make the connection with what you said and what this says.
Well, sometimes the word, I'll write it. And then I'll explain. That means.
Yeah. 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 And so, you know, your goal is you know, aiming kind of in the middle. But then also as you pray and prepare, you should have, you know, you have an audience in mind. And you know you have some that are high, you have some that are low. And you as a shepherd of your class, if you will, you're wondering, okay, God, how do I feed this one? This one needs to feed. Just like this one needs to feed. Give me something for this one and this one, not just this one. He needs to be fed too. He needs to be fed too. So in your prayer and preparation, you're asking for that. Please give me something for everybody in my class. You know? Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's a good question. I'm glad you brought this up. For example, my wife, her mind is really low and my mind is really high. I believe the leader has to know every person in that class, their situation. Because you want to meet their needs. You want them to all understand. So if three of us are really hot off the charts, you know, and explaining stuff, maybe it's easy for us to understand, but the other people, they don't understand anything. They need a lot of help. Then everything's going to break down. Of course, we love the Lord. We're willing to be patient for other people. But some people, you know, they're just going to get fed up and leave. So it's a very good question. But if Paul Chappell's preaching, my wife, is she going to understand? No way. So most of the time at home, I'm discussing with my wife what Pastor was talking about. You know, for deaf ministry, it's very different. Language, you know, the interpreter's language. You know, the interpreter doesn't have time to expand a lot of things and then try to catch up with Pastor later on in the message. So it's hard. I'm so thankful for them interpreting. Yeah, God bless them. I understand the problem. You know, in the Deaf School, Deaf Institute, you have different language levels, different classes set up for that, for low and for medium and high. They can't teach all in one class. What time? No, they're separating those groups. So, you know, they try their best to do that, and thank God that He gives them wisdom to help them do that. Yeah, I don't want to talk so much about institute issues, but just church and deaf ministry and Bible, I think we should focus on that. Yeah, just focus on church. So, you know, what does the Bible mean? That's what I want to explain. He's talking. So some people understand right away and they get it the first time. Is it okay to spend a little bit more time to help some other folks understand? And they're saying yes, that's fine with them. He's saying, yeah, I'll say yes because they need to know. If I already know, fine. You know, thank God. I love Him. I understand that. Praise the Lord. You know, but they need to know that too. They need Jesus.